I'd like to turn for the first scripture found in the book of Exodus, please, on chapter 25. And verse number 8. The Irishman says 8. But I'm a Canadian now. I say 8. And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. Now turn with me, please, to the book of Ezekiel and the last chapter. Chapter 48 of Ezekiel. And it was round about 18,000 measures. And the name of the city from that day shall be, The Lord is there. Now the New Testament, please, to John's Gospel and chapter 1. And verse number 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now turn on over, please, to 1 Corinthians and chapter 3. Verse number 16, Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Colossians, please. One thing I find when you read a number of scriptures, they turn the page and they don't go to sleep on you. Turning the page. Colossians, please, chapter 2, and verse number 9. In Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. Revelation for a final reference, and chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. And verse number 1, And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. There was no more sea. And I think that will suffice for reading. There are scattered verses that I've read, but when our dear brother, Mr. Gilliland, was speaking, and I wondered how I could take this up that's on my mind, because he used every word beginning with the letter D, but the one that was on my mind. And so I want to take up very simply, very clearly, from the past into the present, and have our minds peer into the future and recognize the God of the past is the God of the present, and He is the God of the future. I do find out that in the book of Genesis, we have God walking with man. But remember, He walked with man in the cool of the day, habitually. But remember, that was destroyed by sin and our first parents driven out. And then we remember that God took up the same language in chapter 5. Enoch walked habitually with God. Again, we've got the walking. But remember, Noah walked with God. But it's when you come into the book of Exodus, you've got a different idea of things. That God of eternity, awesome, eternal, majestic, that God wants to dwell with men collectively. And that's why we have the first introduction that under Moses' direction, God says, let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. I think the tabernacle is a wonderful structure. It's beautiful inside, outside the badger skin. But inside lies the beauty of that tabernacle. But the beauty of it all is this. You could go from the burnt offering through the gate, the burnt offering, and then you could go to the laver, and then to the table, then to the lampstand, then to the altar of incense, and through the veil into the ark and the mercy seat, the seven vessels. They're all beautiful and all wonderful teaching. But the big thing, the major thing, the great thing, the awesome thing, God was dwelling there. That must have been tremendous. It must have been with dignity. It must have been with purity. They moved in a consciousness that we are serving Jehovah God. He brought us out of Egypt by the blood of the Lamb nationally. And now He's gathered us together. And so God ever had in mind that He would dwell among His people. I'm glad of that, friend. We'll get New Testament in a moment. But I hurry on. So the first reference is God dwelling in the tabernacle. But then, we know what happened. They went through the wilderness. We've heard of it, that into the land they feel. But in the land, God had them to build a temple called Solomon's Temple. Beautiful for structure. Wasn't like the tabernacle linked to a wilderness. It was now a temple that is symbolic of a future day when the nation of Israel will enjoy the tremendous building of that temple in Ezekiel's time that I'm going to touch in a moment. But in Solomon's day, that temple was built in all its magnificence. 7 years in a building. Quarried out of nature. Brought in and brought together with all its gold ornamentation. And the two pillars with their capitals outside. Everything about it was a marvelous structure. I was over in North Carolina visiting my folks, my in-laws, my daughter and her husband. And they took us to Biltmore House. You ever there? 45 bathrooms. And so many bedrooms. I was sorry I paid to go into it, to tell you the truth. Because I had read Vance Hafner before I'd went there, and dear Vance had said the Biltmore House will look like a little woodshed compared to the mansion to which we're going. Thank God, friend, the temple that we are going to, I'll touch in a moment. But that temple of Solomon was tremendous. In fact, when they rebuilt it after the captivity, you remember, the old man wept and the young man shouted for joy. The old man remembered the former glory. The place was filled with the awesome presence of Jehovah God. Cloud. The magnificence. The glory of it. So God dwelt in the tabernacle, and now He dwelt in the land, in the temple. But you know, I like this one. And that is, there was something happened on earth. I love it. Even though maybe you'll go to sleep on me, although I'll call your name out. But I tell you, this is what I love, that God dwelt in all fullness in a body on earth. I love, my friend, I hope we're firm believers. And I hope we'll never escape from the grandeur and the greatness and the glory of the One that came from the excellent splendors of eternal glory down to our world. God manifest in flesh. In Him dwelt all fullness. He pitched His tabernacle among us. Christ was here. God dwelt in a human body. Almighty strength was wrapped in perfect weakness. Omnipotence was in the manger laid. Heaven's light and joy came down to earth, a stranger. The Word became incarnate in a babe. They're wrapped in swaddling bands. The shepherds found Him. Whose word of power? The heavens of heavens controlled. That little babe that Simeon held before Him was acacia wood overlaid with gold. These things, I feel like worshipping. These things so vast made Mary's heart to ponder. The great Creator in a human frame, God manifest in flesh. We gaze, we wonder. Marvel how the Savior He became. I think we could almost shout out, Hallelujah! What a Savior. Oh, my friend, dwelling among us. God dwelling among men. And for 33 and a half years, I shouldn't maybe interject this, but maybe I shouldn't. Maybe I should. Well, you know the debate. It's not. Yeah, I've looked at it and I've given it to others. When Ben Stein said to Richard Dawkins, that atheistic, intellectual, wicked man, God could save him. Ben Stein, you don't believe in God? He said, don't ask me. You know not to ask me that. He said, you don't believe in gods? I mean, India, have we heard about it? Millions of gods? No. He said, don't. He said, what if you met God? He said to Richard Dawkins. What if you met Him? Richard Dawkins said in a moment, pause, and then he said, I would bow the language of another atheist, Bertrand Russell, who said, if I meet God, I would ask Him, why did you hide yourself? I felt like bursting into the DV then. Sir, He was here for 33 and a half years. He didn't hide Himself. He revealed Himself. Thank God. God manifest in flesh. Blessed be His name. He dwelt here. But then He went back to heaven. And this is what I want to get. I want to get a hold of this. He dwells where now? I know He dwells in every believer. The Holy Spirit dwells. God dwells. Christ dwells. We've got... I don't know how to talk about the second blessing, third blessing, fourth blessing. I can't count my blessings. But I remember my dad, not long saved, going down in the bus. He was reading his Bible, just saved. A man sat beside him, a gentleman. And he said, oh, I see you're reading the good book. My dad said, yes, I just got saved a little while ago. Ah, said the man, you're missing something. That's all right, but you need the second blessing. You need the Holy Spirit. And you need this, and you need that, and you need to speak in tongues. And my dad had just been reading, wonderful, the Bible. It's a great book. He said, I was reading, sir, this morning, that in Christ dwelleth all. The fullness of the Godhead. Bodily, when I got Christ, I got the Spirit, and I got Christ, and I got God. I got everything. Oh, my friend, thank God. We have that great, wonderful truth, God in us, by His gracious Holy Spirit. But my main emphasis, and I want to close with this one. You know, God dwelling among His people. Now listen, I am not throwing stones at any person or any system, if you're present. But I am analyzing from the Bible a very precious Spirit-revealed truth from the Bible, biblical, foundational, indisputable, and that is, God had one gathering place in the Old Testament, the name Jehovah in the tabernacle, the name Jehovah in the temple. He has one magnetic power to draw us to a gathering center here. The name, Lord Jesus Christ, supreme, superb, unrivaled, unsurpassed. I'm not a gospel hauler, by the way. Oh, Mr. Hull. What are you then? Well, I'm a Christian gathered in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. When I wrote down to come to this country, this was nearly 48 years ago, and I had to sign this and sign that and sign this and sign that, and I put down, your religion. And I had a nice simplicity. After all, I was only 6 years in Christ, and I wrote down, Christian gathered in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, Matthew 18:20. And the girl looked at me and she said, what's your religion? I said, I wrote it down. First time you ever saw it, she said. Well, you're seeing it now. Yeah. Gather to thy name, Lord Jesus. No other attraction. Oh, I told him up. I'm going to put it again. The big farmer man that come, took me under his wing. Hugh Alexander, I know he's a rough big preacher. God used him. But I remember getting in touch with him remarkably, and he took me under his wing. And maybe that's why I'm a little loud. He was very loud. And anyway, he took me under his wing. I'll never forget the three brethren coming to that little hall in White House. That was in the old castle, where supposedly, King Billy slept and tied his horse at a tree. I don't know. But anyway, that's nothing to me. I was gathered to the Lord's name in that little place, and those three big farmer men, I know they hadn't been to university, and they hadn't have all the intellect, and they hadn't all the intelligentsia, and all that sort of thing, and all the philosophical words, and all the big dictionary. They didn't have it. All they had was Christ. Enjoy them. I have nothing against education. Not one thing. Ah, the first man got up. Yeah. Big ruddy face. Thought he had just come from milking cows. And he got up and he says, God saved me. And he said, on the roadside, I'll never forget it. When it happened, where it happened, and how it happened. And, you know, the brethren were saying amen. You don't get it now, but at that time, the older brethren would say amen. We have lost that. And we're not Pentecostals. No worry, don't worry about that. No fear. And so they would be saying amen. And then the second man got up, and he was waxing eloquent. I was rooting for my dear friend, you know. Of course, we shouldn't be like that. We're a little biased at times. And anyway, the second man got up and he said, I went a step further still. I was baptized. Thank you, got up. Never forget it. Two big hands. In a loud voice, but he was clear. Just like yesterday. Sat in the front there. And I hear him yet. He said, I went a step further still. I gathered unto the peerless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he threw up his two hands. I had not to write it down. It was written in my mind right to now. After 53 years, he called me out, the man with garments dyed. I knew his form, my Lord the crucified. He showed himself. I could not stay. I had to follow him. Had to obey. It cast me out the world. When it had found that I within my rebel heart had crowned the man it had rejected, spurned and slain, whom God in wondrous grace had raised to reign. And so I am, without the camp, my Lord and I. Sweeter is his presence than any earthly tie, which once I counted greater than his claim. I'm out, not only from the world, but out to his peerless name. A sweeter place. An earth could ne'er be found. It would seem as if I rest on holy ground. As I along with kindred spirits meet to worship kneeling at his blessed wounded feet. Boys, I tell you, have you ever seen elders cry? Oh, boys, the big tears were coming down. Ah, it's a wonderful thing. Brethren, in the midst of his people, Christ is there. God is there. The Spirit of God is there. That's why it becomes us to have a holy character, to have examination of soul, to live in the environment of Christ, to learn to have communion alone with God, alone with Thee, O Master, where the light of earthly glory dies, misunderstood by all, I dare to do what Thine own heart would prize. Alone with Him, on bended knees with your Bible, learn God and appreciate, gathered unto the name of our Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Do you enjoy that, brother and sister? Could I appeal to you young people coming on? Put your best into the assembly. You'll never go wrong. You know, somehow, I don't know what it is. Excuse me for directing another way for a moment. But if it's a big function, and it's a big night of singing or whatever, and I love singing. They're all there. Comes the little Bible reading and prayer meeting. Just answer. What's wrong, brother? Could you answer that even out loud? I know you're shy. I'll answer it. They've lost the grip of the truth of being gathered to His name. The Christ that is in our midst, He's there on Lord's Day morning as well as Bible reading and prayer meeting. He's there in the functioning of the collective company of His people. And we ought to give it our best. We shouldn't come in slovenly. We should come in with dignity and with reverence and with appreciation. I remember when I first went into that little hall, an old elder touched me on the shoulder. Old Mr. Burnett. He said, "Albert, I know you're working there as a manager." He said, "But I tell you, better to do without your supper and get to the meeting." That's what he told me. I'll never forget that. Many a time when I felt like staying behind and doing some other work, an office work in the store, I always heard that whisper come, "Better to do without your supper, better to get to the meeting." And when I went down to that meeting first, I loved my brethren and my sisters. I thought they were all angelic. See, I was just saved. And I thought they all, oh my, I learned they were very human. Yeah, they are human. We are human, friend. We have our own personalities. But I did learn this. I just appreciated the warmth that gathered to His name. I've been there 54 years. And I'm qualifying carefully. By the grace of God, I hope that's where I'll be when the Lord comes, or I have to go by way of death. Christ in the midst of His people. I believe the principle of Matthew. I know there's a little difference of opinion. You can discuss that. But the principle is there. For where two or three are gathered, having been and being gathered unto my name, there am I in the midst of them. Wonderful. A blessed truth. I want to get a little further now as I close. You know, when the church is raptured home, could happen today. Jesus is coming again. I believe we're very near to it. I think if I asked Andrew here a question, he would answer. I'd answer it for him if he wouldn't answer it. Would you be surprised if he come today? No. Look at the world. Globally. 2,000 years, maybe not in the Jewish calendar, but in our calendar, 2,000 years. It's almost the longest dispensation of all the dispensations. From the garden right to now. Surely, we can almost hear His footfall on the threshold of the door. And we could rise from this wonderful building. We'll leave our Bibles behind. We'll go. One moment here in this dark world of woe. This weary veil, tears will ever flow. The next caught up to meet Him in the air. But with but a moment between here and there, He's coming. Even though we may not grasp it and enjoy it and be thrilled with it. I think older people are more thrilled with it because they would rather it's coming than going by death. I mean, we're human. So we're like, black and we'll come. But friend, He is coming. Absolutely. And soon we'll hear the shout. But I want to get this. You know, there's a day coming when the nation of Israel, God has a plan for them. Romans chapter 11 is classic. Psalm 89 is classic. As to the fact that God will fulfill His covenant to His people. And there will be a nation born in a day. When Christ comes back in glorious, majestic splendor, bursting the clouds from east to west, He'll come in lightning flash, in splendor and glory. And we're coming with Him. You know, I like Vance Havner in that too. Some dear person said to Vance Havner, this old gentleman, you remember, I just read some of his quips, you know, that's all. He said to him, "Well, Vance, I'm glad I've got a one-way ticket to heaven." Oh, they were thrilled. He said, "Well, I feel sorry for you. I've got a two-way. I'm coming back with him." We're coming back. We're coming back, friend, in all the splendor of Christ. We're coming back, and we're going to reign over this earth, and there will be a temple erected to God's eternal praise, and the glory of the Lord will fill it, and nations will walk toward it. And the glory and splendor, oh, what a day. Millennial glory. 1,000 years of glorious reign. We shall reign with Him. Listen. It's better on before. Let me finish with this. You know, when He's finished with the whole thing, you remember, He desired to dwell with Him. Make me a sanctuary. Dwelt in the tabernacle, dwelt in the temple, dwelt in the body, dwelt among His people, dwelt in the center of His bride, nearest to His heart. Going to dwell in that coming temple in millennial glory and splendor. But you know, there's a day coming. It's gone. And there's going to be a new heavens and a new earth. You'll laugh at this, but I made a chart, you know. My chart. From my heart. And I put an 8th dispensation. I do it purposely. 7, yes! But remember the 7th disposition, or dispensation, or period of time, or cycle in God's grace, and purposes, remember, at the end there's judgment. When we enter the new heavens and the new earth, God is going to be all in all. And we're going to go into an eternity of absolute, unsullied bliss. I don't know what the singing's going to be like. And I don't know what the outburst of ecstasy and praise will be. But I'll tell you, permeating the new heavens and the new earth will sweep eternally into everlasting ages. The song of everlasting redemption. Oh, to think my voice was there. See, I'm not a great voice now. I like that hymn, "All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name." Love it. I listened to my time almost gone. I listened to a very able man. I think Brother David Gilliland remembers him. I don't know if you heard him much. His name was Ernest T. Wilson. I sat in Donegal Road to a packed hall, gallery and all. That dear man got up. He never raised his voice. He read concerning the temple. Never forget it. And as he read it and went over the glories and virtues and beauties and greatness and grandeur of Christ displayed in that temple, he took the two pillars, Jairus and Boaz. In Him His strength He will establish. And as he went up the pillars, he drew constantly from them glory after glory until he reached the top to the chapiters. I never forget him interjecting. He says, "My dear brethren and sisters, if the Queen come into this hall in Donegal Road tonight," so gentlemanly he said it. He said, "I do think it might be in order for Her Gracious Majesty to each one of us stand and sing 'God Save Our Gracious Queen.'" He paused, and then he looked at the back, and we're almost looking round. He said, "If the King of Kings, in all His regal splendor and glory and majesty, come walking into Donegal Road, I think I see each one of us
push our chairs forward and get down and sing, "All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall." I couldn't keep the tears back as a young believer. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Brethren, sisters, give him your best. It's worthwhile. And God bless his work.